Blog Talk Radio.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, and the lights, and the lights, and the lights.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light Radio Show. This is a special edition. Your host this evening is Stevie R. Butler. And tonight's show is my special edition with my co-host, Patrick L. Medlock from the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, we're grateful that you're tuning in to the radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ, and we would ask you to take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you would like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, give us a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my co-hosts, you can send me an email to butlersteve1009@yahoo.com, or just give me a call to Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. And if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and come study along with us here on the Gospel Light Radio Show. This is a special edition. In the world listening to this radio broadcast, Stevie B's Media Production presents the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just grateful for the privilege to bring your program where we as Christians and members of the Church of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask you to bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we're prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray you'll be with my co-host on the show this evening, Patrick L. Medlock, as he breaks unto us the bread of life. We pray that you'll continue to bless him and his family that support his efforts to continue to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you will bless our listeners this evening. We pray that they may listen well and that their hearts may be pricked as they consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. That it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to die such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. We recognize that without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now we ask that you forgive us for the sins that we have committed in our minds and our bodies. For we know that our flesh is weak and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you will save us. For it's in Jesus Christ's blessed name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the broadcast this evening. Our speaker for this evening, this is a special edition show. My co-host, Patrick L. Medlock from the Spring Hill Road Church of Christ in Tallahassee, Florida, be making his proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ on the broadcast this evening. So open your Bibles now and open your minds and let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my co-host, Patrick L. Medlock. Enjoy the show.
Icon.
to the garden,
to the garden, to the garden,
alone, all alone, while the
dew
is still,
dew is still
on the
rose
bed,
the
rose bed,
and the bow.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show, special edition. Now, my co-host, Patrick L. Medlock, and his subject, the original and the best.
Thank you, Brother Butler, and I bring you greetings from the Spring Hill Road Church of Christ in Tallahassee, Florida, where it all comes together spiritually, and I'm appreciative of the opportunity to make this proclamation on this particular evening. I'm hoping all of you have had a blessed day in which you have been able to really have one singular purpose, and that is to give God glory and honor in everything that you did and that you're doing and everything that you have said and are saying on this very fine day. Please bow with me in a word of prayer before we start our proclamation for tonight. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this day and want to thank you for the many blessings that you continue to give us. And Father, as we continue to preach your word and try to make sure that our life preaches what we preach verbally as well, that you will allow us to be able to be the type of lights, that you'll allow us to be the vessels that you would have us to be. You placed us in these places, whether they're in the north or in the south or in the east or in the west, whether we're in high places or low places, regardless of whether we're in a crowd or amongst a very few, that we might be able to shine our lights. And please allow us to be able to, as we worship you every day in everything that we do and say, that we continue to acknowledge that it is in you that we live and move and have our very being. It is in you that we humble ourselves and pray and seek your faith, and that we attempt to make good faith efforts to turn from our wicked ways, because we know that your word says, then will you heal us. Then will you forgive us of our sins. Then we will be able to truly be called your people. Father, just help us to be able to do all the things that you would have us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what I'd like to do on today is I'd like to talk about some things with regard to just how important the Bible is and just how much we should pay attention to it. A lot of people come up with a lot of ideas. Many of you have made Stephen Covey rich with the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. But, you know, a lot of the things that he's writing are things that the Holy Spirit came up with. I actually have a certification in situational leadership. And situational leadership says that there are 4 quadrants that individuals exist in, and 4 ways in which leadership should interact with individuals. That model includes a model that says, hey, if you're R1 ready, if you have an R1 level of readiness, that means you don't know and you can't do. R2 says you've learned enough maybe to do some self-correction, but you still don't know and you still need leadership and guidance. So in R1, you need to have heavy hands on. You need to be able to help these individuals by giving them heavy task-oriented things. You might have to hold their hand and hold them accountable with deadlines and processes and instructions. When you get to R2, you do less of that as they show a greater level of readiness. Level 3 shows, hey, they still need some guidance. They still need some direction. They still need some leadership, but for the most part, they know and they have a great capability of doing. And R4 is you stay out of their face. You're not even worried about individuals who are at R4, because those are individuals who they know what they're doing, they know how to do it, and they really need very little guidance from you. In fact, you don't really reach out to them. They reach out to you. So you have that model. Then you have basically what a lot of us can identify with if we're not leaders or we're not working in business, And that is the model that we see at the doctor's office, where if I had my lab coat and my stethoscope, then many of you know that if you're a new patient, then a doctor may not have any records on you. They'll ask you whether or not you got some records that you're willing to share from your old physician. But whether if they don't get that, they'll start from scratch. They'll just order some basic labs. They'll do a basic physical or exam. And they're basically looking at evidence-based practices. And in looking at those evidence-based practices, they're hoping to be able to say, okay, here is indeed what we believe that this person should be able to see and do as far as their health is concerned. Here's what the labs should show. Here's what normally is as far as, let's say, things like your diabetes and your blood sugar. Or let's just say that it's a situation or a concern with regard to let's just stick with diabetes, with your blood sugar. Your blood sugar should be between 100 and 125, they're saying. So in doing that, they're in essence basically saying to you, hey, if indeed I need to have healthy cardiovascular health, your blood sugars need to be within that range. And so, and then they'll check your A1C, and your A1C needs to be 5.4 or below. And if it's 5.4 and below, you're not in pre-diabetes state, you're not in a diabetic state, you're in good shape. But then if you tell them that you have certain symptoms that would indicate that maybe you're a diabetic and that you're having some concerns and some issues, then indeed you may indeed need to do the types of things that indeed would show that you are ready to move forward and do what needs to be done. So please know that the whole idea behind doing what needs to be done and doing it in the way that you need to do it is something that's very, very, very important. So please understand and please know that when it comes right down to the exam that needs to be done, and then when it comes right down to your being able to then see the labs on the follow-up and to see whether or not are the actual labs that we see both initially and in the follow-up, are they within the normal range? If they aren't, then we know we need some correction. And usually when it comes to diabetes and cardiovascular health, we're talking about things like, do you indeed have the proper diet? Do you indeed have the proper exercise? And if not, do we need to supplement medication to help you have your blood sugars in check? So once we've kind of figured out what combination, and it might take some iterations and visits as to how you're doing with your diet, how you're doing with your exercise, what medicines are working, we need to get that blood sugar back at a proper level. And once it's at a proper level, it's going to help you to be able to go and do indeed what you need to do so that you can have proper cardiovascular health. So I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that the whole idea of a medical exam and how evidence-based practices play out in our lives, that even is not original, ladies and gentlemen. Because when you read in the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, through rather chapter 3, and verse number 16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, the New American Standard says, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So I want you to know that just like we went through that doctor scenario, evidence-based practices equate to doctrine. Because indeed, the Bible says if you're going to fix the ills that are associated with what's happening in your life spiritually, if your spiritual life needs to be healthy, you got to understand and have a solid handle on what authentic doctrine is. There are a lot of people who try to say doctrine doesn't matter. If you know the gospel and you obey Jesus Christ, then you should be good. But that is not what the Holy Spirit indicated. Because the Bible indicates that in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 19, and as well as Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 18, the Bible says that indeed, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I need you to know and I need you to understand on today that as we continue to move forward, doctrine was important. Jesus said that doctrine would be important. The apostles knew that doctrine would be important. The apostles had it so that as they were delivering the doctrine, they were receiving it from the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said, whatsoever the Holy Spirit hears, that shall he speak, and it shall remind you of what I taught you. So they learned from Jesus the stuff that Jesus felt they weren't ready or didn't have the time to deliver to them. The Holy Spirit gave it to them so that doctrine would be like those evidence-based practices, so that doctrine would be like those situations in which, indeed, if you can actually know authentic doctrine, it's going to help to serve as a baseline for you to spiritually live your life. So when the Bible also says that all scripture is good for reproof, so that reproof, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, is just like that set of labs that is trying to determine whether or not there's a gap between what standard and normal lab should be and what your actual labs are. If there is a gap, if you're off track, if you indeed are in a spot where you're too low or too high, then the labs are the standard, and if your labs are coming in not where they need to be, then the doctor knows something needs to be done with either diet and or exercise, or maybe based on what's happening with you, you definitely going to need some medicine. So the idea of doctrine, the idea of reproof, is basically the original process that Jesus put forth through the Holy Spirit, and it came down to his apostles. And Paul is trying to teach it to Timothy, because I'm just letting you know that the title, the original and the best, is saying all this other stuff that we're seeing come forth throughout all the eons that have now come through. The Holy Spirit basically came up with the same type of mental models first. And then, ladies and gentlemen, you had a situation where we can go back and we can appreciate the original and we can appreciate the best. So if I continue to see wrong labs, then I know that I need to do some correction. I need to basically maybe set forth so that you have certain, as far as going back to our diabetes example, I might need to have you now go through and do a very specific diet. I might need to have you go through exercise. And in doing so, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we may indeed be of such nature where indeed we are of such nature where we'll just do what you need to do because you need to follow the doctor's orders. And see, we're in a spot, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, now where indeed, hey, if indeed you are in a spot where you are actually doing exactly what you need to do, then we don't need to have the conversation about doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction. But indeed, if indeed you're having some problems, you really are, you don't know, and you're not doing, then the doctor sometimes, if the doctor is really concerned about you. I had a doctor one time where the doctor, I kept coming back and I kept saying, you know, this, and I had every excuse in the world as to why I wasn't doing what I was doing. And I want to say it was related to maybe a diabetes issue. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand and I want you to know that that doctor said, do you want to die? And in essence, she shocked me because she cared enough to say, look, I can just have you continue to come by and we can do co-pays and you can get worse and I can continue to get paid. She's saying, look, do you want to die? If you don't want to die, you need to do correctly what you need to do with regard to your diet. You need to do correctly what you need to do with regard to your exercise, and you need to take your medicine the way the medicine needs to be taken. Now, many of us become MDs. I don't know how we became MDs and we didn't go to school. But somehow, some way, we became MDs and we decided that we know our bodies better than the doctor does. So because of that, we end up being in a circumstance and in a situation where we basically take the medicine the way we want to take it, versus being a circumstance and a situation where, hey, you know, the doctor says you need to take this. You need to take this whole pill. You need to take it twice a day. You're taking it once a day. The doctor says you need to take it with food. You take it without food. Yet the doctor says that you need to take your antibiotics, if I can change it up, every day and keep it in line, but until it's all gone. And you decide when you getting better that, okay, I'm going to stop it because I'm not getting better. And so when I'm getting better and I feel good, but the doctors say take all the medicine. You don't have an MD. So the idea of correction sometimes will even gravitate to what this other doctor did, a reproof, where she'll say, you indeed, sir, if you don't want to die, you need to go ahead and get serious about your diet, go ahead and get serious about your exercise, and take your medicine the way it needs to be taken. Now, some of us really struggle with that diet part. I mean, some of us just like fried chicken. I'm just letting that sit out there for a minute because some of y'all like fried chicken. I know you can't say amen, or you can say amen and I can't hear you, but you like you some fried chicken. And so you need to know, ladies and gentlemen, that if indeed the doctors say you got to take the skin off that chicken if it's fried, or you just need to eat baked or grilled, at some point the correction that needs to happen in your physical life dictates that you got to change something if you really want to do it and be physically healthy. The Bible is saying that Scripture, the original and the best, it's going to set a standard of righteousness and spirituality, and it's going to give you at times reproof that's going to say, look, your life is not what it needs to be. Isn't that what James says, that out of the same mouth comes blessings and cursings? These things ought not so to be. This is James reproving his audience for saying, look, you got to tame that tongue. That tongue is not saying the things that it should say. It's not passing the lab test. The labs are either too high or the labs are either too low. And he's saying, look, this ought not so to be. And then he'll indicate to you, because indeed, if you are cursing when you shouldn't be cursing, if you are blessing, but maybe not blessing the way you need to bless, then you need to correct your practice and maybe even withstand a rebuke or two. Remember, Peter was being two-faced, and Paul had to withstand him, the Bible says, to his face. about being two-faced, about how he treated the Jews, well, the Gentiles, when the Jews weren't around, versus how he treated the Gentiles when the Jews were around. He said, look, I rebuked him to his face. The idea of doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness, that's that last part. That instruction in righteousness corresponds to that R4 of situational leadership, where you know and you've learned how to do. And because you know and you've learned how to do, now when you go to the doctor's office physically, you now have a different type of conversation. It's not a your labs are out of whack, which would be reproof. It's not do you want to die, which would be correction. It's more, you know what, Mr. Matlock, you just need to continue to go out on those hour walks 4 to 5 times a week, Mr. Matlock. You continue to, and in fact, now that you're more physically fit and you've lost the 40 pounds that you used to have on you, you probably need to challenge yourself. And how long, what, how many calories are you doing? How many, what's your target heart rate? You just need to kind of work on that so that you can actually be even more physically fit by challenging yourself more. Because as I do the exam, I think that you can do more. You can handle more. Your body can handle more stress and get into even a greater level of spiritual fitness. The Bible will talk about how that sometimes instruction in righteousness will come. When you see that Paul told the Thessalonians that I see that you have proper love for the brethren. He's saying, look, you already, I'm just going to give you some additional instructions in righteousness because I see you're already loving your fellow man the way you need to love him. He told the Philippians that indeed he was really grateful for their generous gift as they continue to support them. And so a lot of what he says in Philippians is just instructions in righteousness, where there were some things that were out of whack, but and when he talked about those things, he said, look, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your petition known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will be with you. When you can understand and you can appreciate the instructions in righteousness that the Bible gives us versus the rebukes. Because the Bible does say things like, if God be for us, who can be against us? We like that type of feedback from the scriptures, don't we? But then the Bible also says that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Why do you think the Bible says that the Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the joint and the spirit and the soul, the joint and the marrow and the soul and the spirit, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God, if you need doctrine, doctrine is there. If you need reproof, reproof is there. If you need correction, correction is there. If you need instruction in righteousness, instruction in righteousness is there. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we need to listen to the Bible. You've been reading this passage all your life, but have you realized it, that as you go about arguing about stuff, some stuff that we shouldn't even be arguing about, we need to say, what is the doctrine associated with the thing that we're arguing? What is the reproof that might be needed based on what we see that doctrine to be? What is the correction that needs to be put forth as we see that what we're doing and what the word says we're doing are two different things? And, ladies and gentlemen, once we get it corrected, once we get it straight, then the question becomes, what is it that we need to do differently as far as instructions in righteousness so that we can not only get back on track, but we can stay on track? Because you need to realize that as far as spirituality is concerned, spirituality is not a destination. I'm just going to give you that for a pregnant pause for a second. Spirituality is not a destination. Spirituality is a journey. You got to understand and you got to know that you're going to continue to ride on the bus that's called spirituality all of your life. You have to always be hungering and thirsting after righteousness, Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6. And ladies and gentlemen, as you continue to live your life, you need to immerse yourself in the Word. And see, when we don't do that, because see, people that are part of my fellowship, we pride ourselves on people that are people of the Word, people that want to get it right. But there used to be a time when it came to coming to church on Sunday, coming to church on Sunday evening. In fact, when I was younger, we had Sunday school. We had worship service. We had another Sunday school before evening worship. Then we had evening worship. And we basically fulfilled the Lord's day the whole day. Then we came back during midweek service. Basically, we were so zealous that every time the church doors opened, we were there to try to edify one another and to learn about God's word. Now, as parents, we struggle because we want the preacher to give you a 20-minute happy meal. We don't want the steak tartare. We don't want the filet mignon that the Bible gives us by giving us the doctrine when we need it, the reproof when we need it, the correction when we need it, the instructions when we need it. We want the Cliff Notes version. We don't want to actually read the Bible and get the remedy. And so the circumstances that are associated with actually doing and living the life, people don't know. Because now they don't come. So that means that they don't bring their children, or if they do come, they give their children, hey, do you want to come? Ain't no do you want to come. This is the most important thing. Do you say, do you want to come to school? No, you make them go to school. But the thing that is, guess that the word that God has given us that says that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, we give them a choice as to whether or not they want to be a part of that. And then we're saying now we don't even need Sunday night service. Why do we even have it? Is it really required? It's about doing the bare minimum. And then our midweek Bible studies have dwindled to a point where I'm presuming some people are even probably abandoning those because they're basically letting the people lead instead of leaders actually leading themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to continue to say this Bible is the original and best. The person that said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one, most certainly wasn't a preacher, and he's most certainly not listening to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is saying, you need doctrine. It's profitable. You need reproof. It's profitable. You need correction. It's profitable. You need instruction in righteousness. It's profitable. So you need to see those examples. Believe you me, we need to see those sermons. But boy, we need to make sure that we are not neglecting hearing the word. Why do you think that the preacher over there in Ecclesiastes 5 says, guard your steps as you approach or enter the house of the Lord and be more ready to hear? Because Back then, when they didn't have Bibles, you know, you might as well not have Bibles if you're not reading it. If it has dust, it's the only time you pick it up is on a Sunday. And then even then, you don't even follow the preacher when he's pointing out scriptures. But they didn't have books. They didn't have Bibles back then. And so you ended up having a circumstance where they needed to hear what the homily or what the doctrine or what the teaching was from the priest or the rabbi or the temple leader at the time. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, you need to understand that the whole idea is get your, as I talked about Sunday night, get your ready. Because if you're going to truly, not that guard your steps is not like a lot of the old folks used to do where they used to tip with their finger in into the assembly. That's not what guarding your steps means there. It means get your ready so your right, R-I-T-E, can be right, R-I-G-H-T. And a lot of that still has to do with getting the word in you. If you're able, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, to get the word in you, it's going to be profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I found it interesting that if you look at the Bible, it was not originally divided into chapters and verses, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. So know that what you in essence had was Paul then going further and saying, I charge thee before God that you preach the word. So preaching the word is giving you that doctrine. Be instant in season when they want it and out of season when they don't want it, Paul is telling Timothy. Then he says, reprove. So the doctrine that rebukes, that is therefore reproof, Paul is telling Timothy that when you go to Ephesus and you deal with those rogue elders, you need to reprove them. Then it says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, then rebuke. That's the correction. Because if they know to do right, and they're deciding not to do it, it's an attitude problem, it's a willfulness issue, then you can test it when you have that first and second admonition. But the Bible says after the first and second admonition, reject, and you need to start rebuking. You need to have some bass in your voice. You can't be mealy-mouthed in dealing with what needs to be dealt with. You need to correct them. And in my, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, result in church discipline. But it starts with doctrine and reproof and correction before we get to discipline. Because if they don't know, that's one thing. If they don't know how to do, that's one thing. But if you send them, if you send me to diabetes education and it tells me what I need to do, and I pay attention to what needs to do, and you say, well, maybe I didn't get it the first time, so you send me again, and I get it this time, and I still don't do it, the doctor says, do you want to die? At some point, you got to be able to say, if you aren't going to do right, then get out the way and let those of us who want to do right, do right. Paul says, look, he told Timothy, reprove, rebuke, and you got to realize, can I say this? It ain't everybody's job to rebuke. See, a lot of us, we get a wig in our hands and we're ready to rebuke, and we ain't studied no doctrine. We don't even know anything about anything. We just think we see something wrong and we're ready to rebuke things when the Holy Spirit says there's a process. You reprove when you need to reprove. You rebuke when you need to rebuke. And when you need doctrine, you need to give them doctrine. And in a lot of people's case, I'm not going to rebuke somebody who don't know the doctrine and don't know that they even doing wrong. The Holy Spirit says that's not the time when the scripture is profitable. Doctrine. Reproof. He says preach the word. Reprove. Rebuke. And then he says exhort. See, these things, when the Bible talks about later in the book when he starts talking, or actually in 1 Timothy 4, when he talks about these things exhort and teach. See, when you're at that point, you're at a point where you're saying, you know what, things are going good, but people still need teaching. Because people who think they know what they know, they're not in a position, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, where they need to understand that they need to rest on their laurels. These people that have done wonderful ministry all these years, God doesn't have a retirement plan before the grave. They need to continue to work. They need to continue to do. They need to continue to mentor. There's always going to be an opportunity for you to share your life in some type of way by doing what God would have you to do. So all these wonderful models, evidence-based practices, situational leadership, all the Stephen Covey, all of these items are fine. But Brother Butler, I love the original and best. The original and best that says the Bible will give you the doctrine when you need the doctrine. The Bible will give you the reproof when you need the reproof. The Bible will give you the correction and even the rebuke and even the discipline, the charge, when that needs to be given. Because even when we discipline people, the idea of discipline is not excommunicating them for good, but that they might come back. Come back and correct. And if they're able to come back and correct, then we can give them the instruction in righteousness that hopefully will lead all of us to glory. Elders, you need to hear this message that I delivered today, because you need to let your preacher preach. You need to, in some cases, sit down and listen to what the preacher has to say, learn for yourself, and not act like you know everything that you need to know. Let the man of God, who has been equipped to teach what he needs to teach, teach you so that you can indeed fulfill your responsibility to feed the church of God and to look over that flock and to rule over them and to be able to actually help them when they need to be helped by doing the rebuking, doing the correcting, doing the discipline so that we can snatch their souls out of the fire. That's what the Word of God is for. And we keep commanding about these 20-minute happy meals. People aren't going to know enough doctrine. They're not going to know enough about reproving and correcting. And if we don't have people coming to class, the Word of God has all of this power that we know of, and we're not using it. It is the original. It is the best. I love it that David wrote 176 verses in Psalm number 118 trying to tell us just how great the Word of God is. We need to know and understand, ladies and gentlemen, that if we continue to neglect this word, we're going to continue to neglect the salvation that God has in store for us. The original and best. Preachers, continue to preach it. Teachers, God love you, continue to teach what you need to teach. Preachers and elders, continue to stay immersed in the word, so that as you are immersed in the word, you can help your flock do what they need to do. Because when they're coming together, like the Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 10, Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse number 22, let us continue to draw near. That's the fellowship that needs to be part of what we do in worship. Let us continue to hold fast the confession of our faith. Let us continue to consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. Because when you're not there to fellowship and when you're not ready to receive the word, you need to be careful, because if you some of the some, don't be some of the some. Don't be part of that group that they're not drawing near, because you don't know enough to understand that God is the one that's allowing you to borrow his breath That's what it said over in Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25. You know, God doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't need our worship. He doesn't really need us to actually learn what he needs to learn. All of what we're doing, worship and learning, is for our benefit. Because the Bible says it is he that has given us life, your life as a parent, your life as an your occupation, whatever you're doing, your life as a husband, your life as a wife. God is the one that has given us our cars. God is the one that's given us our homes. God is the one that has given us all this is borrowed. God is the one that's letting you borrow, the word says, your very breath. The very breath that you're breathing is not your own. Yet, brothers and sisters, we are availing ourselves to the word of life that's going to help us to live the life that God would have us to live. Because we're forsaking the assembly. We're not dutiful, whether we're in corporate worship or in Bible study or studying our Bibles, and we're not studying that privately either. To the point where at some point, if we aren't able to do what we need to do in the way that we need to do it, it's not going to be because God didn't give us the instructions. It's going to be because we decided not to read them. We decided not to apply them. And because we decided to now say, I'm just going to do things my way, we're going to be just like those individuals that the Bible says throughout the book of Judges. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes instead of understanding that the Bible is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. I'm hoping that I opened your eyes to the importance of Bible study, the importance of listening to the preacher, the importance of studying your lesson before you get the Bible study, the importance of asking the text questions and trying to make sure that, number one, you understand what does the text say, you understand what does the text mean, and then you understand what does it really say to me. Because maybe I needed the doctrine that this text taught. Maybe I needed the reproof that this text taught. Maybe I need the correction and the rebuke that this text gives me. Or maybe I need the instruction in righteousness that says that says if indeed you are doing well, this is what else you need to do to continue to improve. Because none of us are perfect. None of us are where we need to be. All of us are works in progress, and the word of God will continue to work on us if we let the word of God work in us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for yet another opportunity and another privilege to be able to give you the glory and the honor that we hopefully have given you by delivering this message. The word of God is indeed the original and the best. And because of that, we want to stay immersed in your word. We want to continue to receive the doctrine that we need to receive, receive the reproof that it gives us at times, and be able to correct so that we can get back on track. And then once we can still receive that instruction in righteousness, because we're always hungering and thirsting after it, we'll be able to live a life that is pleasing and acceptable to you, that can serve as a sweet-smelling savor, so that you can know that we are indeed those that are still calling on the name of the Lord. We are the ones that are continuing to come back to the altar time and time again. We are the ones that are trying to also be a son of Abraham and be reckoned, have our life be reckoned, even though it's not very perfect, as righteousness. Because we know that you continue to call imperfect people for your perfect work. So help us to continue to be everything that you would have us to be. Continue to be patient with us. Continue to help those of us that are preachers to be patient and long-suffering as we continue to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and with all doctrine. Allow us to work in concert with elders that might be at our congregation to continue to pastor the flock and continue to do the things that God would have them to do as well. Work with dutiful deacons. Work with wonderful teachers. And work with others that are leading ministries and transforming lives because they are allowing the Holy Spirit to transform their own. Continue to bless us and keep us all. For we're all in need of your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord, will you help me to stand?
When the going gets tough, help me to stand.
When it seems I can't go on.
When it gets too rough, Lord, take my hand.
Oh,
I can't let the burdens of life take control of me.
Take control of
me.
If you notice that
Gospel Light Radio Show, Special Edition.
King of kings and Lord of lords, He will hear your
I'm praying. Hallelujah.